Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And he left them, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Glory to you, O Christ.
Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As we go through life, we meet people all the time. Most of you can probably remember the day that you met your spouse. Maybe you met someone who gave you some great insight. Perhaps someone who changed the direction of your life completely. Now, aside from your spouse, you may have been left thinking, "I wonder if I will ever meet that particular person again." In our gospel reading for this morning, on this LWML Sunday, the scene is Jesus' ascension. Now, I want you to think about what has taken place in the last 40-some days earlier when the Lord was on the cross. He was suffering, he was dying, and in that suffering and dying, he cries out in anguish, my God, why have you forsaken me?" There he is, hanging, suspended by the nails, face bowed down toward the ground, due to the weight that he was bearing, due to the horribleness of crucifixion, due to the whippings, to the beatings, and even more, the weight of his Father's wrath over the sin that he placed on his Son, sin that was not his own. Jesus, in the midst of this deep agony, breathlessly says, "It is finished." And John records it this way: "He bowed his head and gave up his spirit." It is then that Jesus' side is pierced with the spear, blood and water pour forth, signifying that the Lord Jesus Christ was dead. On that day, God died. Jesus' body is taken from the cross, hurriedly wrapped in linen and spices, then laid into a stranger's tomb. Now, having watched all of this take place over the last 24 hours, his followers must have wondered, would they ever meet Jesus again? But then, praise God, 3 days later, the very first Easter morning happens, and Jesus steps out of the tomb alive. Jesus has conquered death and the grave, and he has risen victorious. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen
indeed. Alleluia. Jesus Christ has defeated death, not only for himself, but also for all of you. For you are the believers. But then in between, there's this time from the resurrection to the ascension in our reading that Jesus actually does meet with his followers. He shows himself. Thomas touches Jesus, and Jesus even eats a breakfast of fish with the men. Jesus truly has conquered the grave. And by doing so, states for all of you who believe today this new reality, this new truth, you shall not die, but you will live with Jesus for eternity. Which brings us to this Ascension Day. Those 40 days must have been awesome, so inspiring, walking and talking with the Lord Jesus. They must have wondered, where will we meet Jesus next? Where will he be tomorrow? During those days, Jesus brought teaching and blessing when he appeared to the men, and people rejoiced at meeting him. But then our text says, he parted from them. You can almost hear the disciples talking to each other. Well, that was different. We've never seen that before. But he has always come back, hasn't he? I wonder where we will meet him next. Well, through your reading and your study of Scripture, you know that Jesus did not appear again bodily on the earth. And you also know that he did not leave them without his presence. He did not leave them without Jesus being part of their lives. As Jesus promised, I will not leave you as orphans. You see, at his ascension, Jesus gave them an assignment to carry out. One that would take their time, their treasure, and their talents. And you are sitting here today because of that very assignment. You have received the fruits of their labor. You have heard the proclamation that Jesus and the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in Jesus' name to all the nations. And that very proclamation has come to you. For you have heard the need, your need of repentance and forgiveness through Jesus. You have had occasions in your life where you have wondered where the Lord Jesus is for you. Just as those who witnessed the ascension, you may have been thinking, where will I meet Jesus next? So you too go through life like them with doubts. Doubts that easily arise from challenges that you face. Perhaps doubts about the resurrection. Maybe doubts about the promises that Jesus brings. You question, how could God love you? If God will meet you, will he care for you? Where is this Jesus of promise? When will he meet me? See, you as believers are called to repent and recognize that there is quite a bit of sin over which you need to repent. And you also know the reconciling peace with God. With your own efforts and your own ways, there is no ability to reconcile with the God Almighty. By your works, there can be no peace with God. That is why the proclamation of repentance and forgiveness in the name of Jesus is so vitally important. This message has been given to the church by Jesus. And as the church, we have the responsibility to proclaim the message of Jesus, of repentance and forgiveness through him. It is a message Jesus wants people to hear and believe so that they may know life in him. Those who were present on that ascension day returned to Jerusalem and wondered if they would ever meet Jesus again. During that time, they met together. They praised God, recalling all of the wonderful gifts that he left with them. But Jesus did not meet with them. He did, however, come to them in the fellowship and the breaking of the bread. He joined with them in the waters of baptism. He came to them in the words that they repeated that he spoke to them. Jesus was present with them in what we call the means of grace. Dear friends, the same is true for us today. You never have to wonder where Jesus our Lord is. You don't ever have to search for him. You never need to wonder if he is present here with you to lead you, to guide you, to comfort you. And why is that? Because Jesus continually comes to you. He meets you in his holy supper that we share in this meal. He meets you in the waters of baptism and in his holy word when it is read. Jesus meets you in that word. As the word made flesh, he gives himself to you. Your life is now tied up with Jesus because he gives you the words of eternal life. Life, true life, is only given by the Lord Jesus, and it is through his means of grace where he meets you. And when he does that, he brings you all of his good gifts. He gives to you his life. He gives to you forgiveness. He gives to you his peace. He gives to you his promises. And he gives to you true freedom. He wants to meet you in this world so that you may know him, our God and our Lord, and know the joy that comes with that. But as we are all quite aware, so many in our society and our world do not meet with Jesus or know him as their loving Savior. Dear people of God, as the Lord assigned the disciples the great task of spreading the message of repentance and forgiveness in Jesus, we too now carry on that work, a monumental task, but a vitally necessary one. And what a joy to know that we have a partner in that work. The LWML in general, and the ladies who make up the LWML here at Concordia in particular, work tirelessly to carry the gospel to those people who need to meet our Lord Jesus. They are involved in this mission that ranges from our own community clear to the far reaches of the globe, sewing quilts that we see here with us this morning that will go to those enduring tragedy, school kits that can help lift little ones out of poverty through education, the nickels, the dimes, the quarters gathered in those little mite boxes will go to help feed people through aid efforts and make certain that people from South America to Africa have access to the Word of God. It is our LWML ladies that become, for you, in numerous places, the very heart and hands of the compassionate and merciful Jesus, who saves and meets people where they are and grants them life. We are so fortunate in our church and in our church body to have this amazing partner in spreading the message of the gospel. As you give your treasures, your time, your talent, they support and encourage and uplift missionaries and places of compassion, spreading for you the message of repentance and forgiveness in Jesus' name. Through their efforts, through their commitment, through their joy and service, your gifts touch so many lives. To our ladies here this morning, I say, what tremendous hearts and hands and voices you have as partners in sharing the gospel. For through your efforts, you aid people in meeting the Lord, showing them that they may know where he is. And where is our Lord Jesus? He is here in the hearts and hands and the voices of his people. He is here, there, in the LWML as they efforts reach people with the message of repentance and forgiveness in the name of Jesus. He is where his word is preached and where his sacraments are rightly administered in his name. Yes, we are certainly blessed, for our Lord continues to meet with his people. continues to meet with you. And as such, you have forgiven.